State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Checking In with Michelle Williams, a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect.
There are tons of people using social media to give hope, to inspire, to be fun. And my next guest is doing just that. He is going to be checking in with us. He's got so much to share. I'm so glad that he's here. So will y'all stay tuned? All right, let's see.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another fire episode of Checking In. It is a joy that you guys continue to check in week after week. You're downloading my episodes, and we could not be in this amazing season 3 of Checking In if not for you. And the reason why also we are able to be in another season is because of guests like I am about to talk to right now, R-E-T, right now. He hails from Los Angeles, California. He lives in Los Angeles, and he's awesome. He's a social media content creator, mental health nurse practitioner, author. He's also a fellow podcaster and psychotherapist with over 3 million followers on all of his social media channels. Y'all listen. Please welcome Dr. Kojo Sarfo to checking in.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Kojo!
I love the energy.
Listen, we need it. I know where I am in Atlanta. It is raining. It's cloudy. But you are lighting up our lives right now with your amazing content and your openness about your own journey. But at the same time, you're literally changing lives one TikTok after another.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You use social media to reach so many people. But before social media, give us your background and how you became first a mental health nurse practitioner and then now psychotherapist. Give us that journey.
Right. So I guess we have to go back to high school. And I wasn't the best high school student. And I remember my dad having a conversation with me in the car. And he was like, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, I think I want to rap. And he was like, no, what do you want to do with your life? And I was like, can you suggest something? And he said, oh, if you go get a 2-year nursing degree, I'll stop, you know, bugging you and you can do your thing. So I did that. I went to nursing. After I got my nursing degree, I got 2 degrees. So I got a bachelor's degree, second after the associate's degree. And after that, I learned about the DNP program where you go back to school to get a doctorate and specialize in psychiatry and mental health. And that's what I did. And by doing that, I became a psychotherapist as well. And I was working in Virginia, in Southern Virginia, doing forensic psychiatry. And I was posting, you know, content on TikTok. And over time, that kind of took off. And it gave me the ability to, you know, go public and do it, you know, as a career. But before that, I was even promoting mental health awareness through a clothing company. And that clothing company was called Abrante and Senora, which stood for gentleman and lady. That was very helpful for me because we got the chance to go to Washington, D.C. to go to a Mental Health America conference where I believe we saw you talk in 2017. Yeah. So it's like a full circle moment for me. I remember that.
Yes. That is amazing. The topic of mental health can be swept under the rug in the Black community. Not only the Black community, the subcultures, period, right. You know, so I just know, like, and I get messages and DMs from Black people outside of America, Jamaica, Africa, that are like, we don't talk about that over here. Thank you so much. So now I can tune in to hear what you're talking about. How has that been for you?
Personally, it feels really good. You know, whenever, I mean, anytime I get a podcast, interview, or I get a chance to talk to somebody, it feels great that somebody wanted to, you know, talk to me and take time out of their day to hear my thoughts. But when it's someone like you who's accomplished and also, you know, Black, it means a little bit more because we don't talk about these things in our community a lot. And sometimes I'll sit here and I'll, you know, be on the Today Show or whatever, but I'll be waiting for, you know, Black entertainers like you to talk about these things, because a lot of times in our community, we don't, you know, we'll talk about it, but we'll use a different word. So instead of saying depression, you know, you might, you know, say, oh, I've been feeling low for a little bit. Like, we don't want to just come out and say it. But in order to fix a problem, sometimes you have to say it and acknowledge it and go through the pain of accepting that this is going on. And then you can get to the recovery process. But a lot of times as a community, I feel like we hold ourselves back because we don't want to actually talk about the truth, you know. And if there's somebody in our family who's struggling with a mental illness, a lot of times, you know, you'll just kind of put that person to the side or, you know, try not to talk about it in public because, you know, that person might bring shame to the family. So I think it's going to be a game changer to just talk about these things openly, and it's going to help us as a community.
How has it been like in your own family?
It's been an adventure in my own family. I talk about having ADHD online a lot. And I remember when I was in grad school working on this doctorate to help people out, my mom, she took my car somewhere and she opened up the compartment in the middle and she found like a bottle of Adderall, and she Googled it, you know, to see what mixed amphetamine salts were. And then she was bugging out because she's like, are you taking drugs or what's going on? Or like, are you like, and I'm like, Mom, I just can't focus. And I went to a doctor and now I can focus. I was trying to lay it out to her, but she was freaking out because a lot of times as a parent, if your child is taking medication, And I'm not, I don't have any kids yet, but I would assume that you would take your child's mental status and you might let that be a reflection of you as a parent, you know? So that's why I was thinking that's what my mom was going through. So, I mean, as I've talked about it more, now my family, they're opening up to the idea of therapy. And the first time I told my sister I went to a therapist during the pandemic, she was like, "Are you okay?" Or, you know, and I've gone through a breakup too. So she was like, "Was it the girl?" I'm like, "No, it's something I should have done a long time ago." Like, but it's only now that I have the resources to do it. So now I'm going to open myself up to, you know, to doing that. But I think as I've been speaking about it more, I've been seeing my family members come out and say, "Okay, maybe I'll try therapy," or "I think I've been a little bit anxious," or "I'm struggling to drive on the highway because I feel like the walls are closing in on me." So I think we all go through it, but somebody has to step up. And, you know, because a lot of times we wait for people to, like, you know, say that they're going through something as well before we acknowledge it, because you might be embarrassed or ashamed. So somebody has to go out there and just kind of put their feet in the water and kind of test out the waters and see what it's like.
You were about to go into how you sharing your own story of how you discovered that you had ADHD.
Right.
As a practitioner, did you know you always had it?
Yeah.
Or tell us, first of all, what is ADHD?
Right. So ADHD is a brain-based condition. You know, more than likely you're born with it, and it's a cluster of symptoms. You know, you can have somebody who's struggling to pay attention, somebody who's disorganized. You can have somebody who's impulsive, overly talkative, people who have a hard time starting something and finishing it all the way through. And a lot of times women have to go years, sometimes decades, without being diagnosed because they may present as being, you know, a bit more quiet and shy, but they're silently struggling and they're disorganized. They can't, you know, organize their thoughts, keep things together. So it's a cluster of symptoms that affects a lot of people, and it doesn't really go away in adulthood. But people think that is like a little boy's, you know, disease, and you'll grow out of it. Or sometimes in our community, you feel like you can spank a kid out of it, you know, but it's a real condition and is genetic. So more than likely you got it from your parents who have probably had it their whole lives, but they never knew what was going on. So they just thought that that's how they were.
You're so right. Spank it out of them. Or can you imagine telling a child, "You just need to sit and focus more"? Yeah. There's something going on to why I can't. Yeah. Well, stop watching TV so much. Make sure you sit in a silent place. I don't know if you know, the more I sit in a silent place, the more my mind and thoughts get to rambling. And so,
yeah.
Wow, I think sometimes this diagnosis can go dismissed because of the fact that people say, "Well, I think all adults have a little bit of ADHD."
Yeah.
Especially if you got kids running around, a dog running around. Husband or wife or something, you're doing, so your mind is, so it's like, what did it feel like growing up or as an adult? I believe you got your diagnosis as an adult, correct? Yeah. So what was going on?
So for me, I knew I had it in second grade, you know, honestly, like I would tell my mom that I would go to school, you know, grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. I would see the white kids, they would like leave like halfway through the day and they'd go to the nurse's office and they would take medication and they'd come back and they would get their work done. And I would tell my mom, "Oh, like those kids, like I think they're taking some type of medication or something like that." I'm like, "Can I get checked out?" And my mom was like, "No, like, we'll pray for you. You don't need that. None of my kids have anything like that." So I believe that. So I use that to, you know, I willed myself to becoming a good student. But I always felt like my whole life I had to try twice as hard to get like maybe half as done as the average person. And in seventh grade, I was watching a baseball game and there was a player for the Braves who, there was a routine ball that was hit to him. He got the ball and he jogged over to first base. And then he got there after the runner got there. So it was an error. And this is a nationally televised game. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And the Braves lost that game. And after that game, the first baseman, his name is Adam LaRoche, he came out and said that he has ADD or ADHD. And he struggled with that his whole life. And he lapsed, like he had a lapse, like on national TV in the middle of a game. And then that was seventh grade for me. And then at that point in time, I knew that that's what I had, because I felt like that happened to me during class where like I'm taking a test, but then I zone out. And before you know it, you see kids starting to like turn their papers in and I'm still there working on my assignment. But I didn't bring it up to my parents because we didn't have insurance and they're just trying to, you know, keep the lights on. So I told myself if I had like cancer or whatever, okay, we can go to the doctor. But if you can't focus, that's not a real reason to try and go to the doctor. Like, you just have to tough it out, ride it out, you know. And that was my mentality until I was 25 and, you know, I got assessed.
Wow. First of all, I'm so sorry that you had to carry that weight. Like, man, blood ain't gushing out. I don't have liquids coming out of all the crevices. You know what I'm saying? You right. felt like this wasn't a big enough issue.
Right.
To take to your parents. And then I think parents now, there's so much out there and talked about as far as mental health is concerned that prayerfully more parents will take their children seriously if their yeah. child feels like something is going on. Two, for parents to get more interactive, because some of our parents feel like as a teenager, oh, this is just a growing phase. My kids are just hyper. Or if they're isolated, they mistake a child's isolation for he or she is just being a teenager. They don't want to be around us old people anymore.
Right.
Versus no, they might be isolated because there is depression.
Right.
The hyperactivity is, oh, my child's just hyper. I'm going to just put them in gymnastics to get all their energy out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So hopefully yeah. now with people like you out there sharing daily with the millions of followers that you have, I know for a fact weekly there are parents that are like, I'm going to get my children assessed because of Dr. Kojo.
I think so. And even looking at some of the DMs that I get, sometimes not that you have to scare people. You know, I try not to like, you know, scare folks with information because on the internet, based off of how you present a video and it goes viral, you know, people might think, oh, wow, like, am I going to get this? Or like, is this happening to me? But when you put out the evidence that ADHD does increase the likelihood of depression, you know, by at least 3 times, and it also increases your risk for suicidal ideation and things like that. Then when a parent sees that, they're like, oh, okay, all right, maybe I shouldn't take this thing lightly. Let me be proactive and, you know, help out a child. And the help that you get when you're in fourth grade, seventh grade, 10th grade, is going to help you out as an adult because you're building up your self-esteem, you know. But some issues that we don't fix while we're kids, they kind of follow us as adults. And you don't realize until maybe you get into a relationship and it's coming out, or maybe when something bad happens or you're grieving and you're feeling all out of sorts. So the work that you do as a child or what your parents do for you as a child, it does matter a lot.
Kojo, put a pin in that. You just said some amazing things in there. Ooh, this stuff can come up in relationships. I know that I personally experienced certain things that were not healed or assessed from childhood did come up in adulthood. So you are right about that.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life. Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
You said a few minutes ago, you mentioned the word evidence.
Right.
And I was like, speaking of the word evidence, prior to your social media activity and even being a mental health practitioner, you were in forensic psychiatry.
That's correct.
Talk about that transition. Because, that you know, in school, that was my major, criminal justice, to go into forensic psychology. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me, and it shaped me a lot as an individual. And it kind of even led to me going on social media, because when I first started that job in Virginia, it was very intense. Like, I had patients who had, you know, committed murders. Some of them had maybe murdered their parents, or they'd murdered other people or burned buildings down. And these are pretty severe crimes. You know, like, if I were to give details of certain crimes, you could Google it. So I can't even talk about certain things, but it was real. Like, I don't even watch scary movies or scary shows, because, like, I actually lived that, where I would have patients come in my office and I would, on a daily basis, talk to people who had murdered people and done all kinds of gruesome things. So it made me appreciate people on a different level, because when you think of somebody who has taken away somebody's life, you know, you wouldn't expect to show that person any empathy. But then, you know, I'm looking at the person, I'm like, okay, this is a person who just made a mistake. You know, but maybe if it was my family member, or if it was my niece that they did something to, would I feel the same way? So on a moral level, I had to grapple with a lot of different questions. But because it was such a heavy type of thing, you know, I needed an outlet, which was social media, which I could go and make, you know, the videos and make it funny or whatever. And I didn't have to think about that. But it was very helpful to work in that environment, because I learned so much from those patients. Like, they would teach me life lessons. And some of them, when they got stable on their meds, they will come out and say, I did this. It was a mistake. I should have never done this. I deal with this, you know, guilt every day. And I think it's helped me out a lot just as a man, just hearing some of those stories.
Wow. Kojo, that is pretty powerful, you know, because I do watch the stories about true crime and how people go in and talk to people who have done some of the most gruesome crimes. And then you do kind of find yourself, at least I do, like, feeling sorry for them, but then it also still, too, can be right. You can feel sorry for that person, especially when they've expressed so much remorse. Then the other thing is right, too. Someone else is suffering because of that unmet need that you had as a child, and then it manifested as an adult, and you took someone's life as a result of things going unmet for them as a child. Childhood is so, so crucial. How we were shaped as children plays such a huge role in how we are as adults. What do you see as having a mental health impact on people, good and bad, as an influence, but at the same time, you are a professional. So you're more than just an influencer. You actually got some credentials to possibly diagnose and treat people. What are you seeing on social media that's having an impact on people, first of all, in a bad way?
Honestly, it's, you know, in this post-pandemic world, I don't think any of us chose to, you know, like when COVID happened, we were forced to be by ourselves. But what I'm seeing now is that there's not a lot of community just in real life. Like, we're lonelier than ever. And I just looking through DMs, I feel like I have a courtside seat at looking at human suffering. Like, I'll just go through DMs at night, and there's some people who they would love to just get out of bed and take their dog on a walk. That would make them feel like they won the Super Bowl. There's some people who just like to have a friend come over. And, you know, even when I'm on a live stream, I'll say things like, all right, you just need one friend. So many people in the comments will say, I don't have one friend. I don't like people. We don't have that community, you know, and I think we're lonelier than ever. And of course, you know, when it comes to relationships, people, you know, there's this whole thing of, oh, single Valentine's Day on relationship. But just in terms of friendships, I think that's a big part of life, having connections, you know, and being lonely or isolating yourself is not good for your mental health. It's not good for your physical health. You know, like things like that can even worsen your cardiovascular health. You could be a higher chance for things like heart attacks and strokes just by not having a sense of community around you. So it's a human need, but we're doing so much social media, so much telemedicine. We're not really getting together in real life and meeting with people. But I do like the internet. And if you can make friends through that way, I would say that's a good start. But I don't think we're as connected as we used to be even 10 years ago. And that's somewhat concerning.
Now, what about from somebody like me? I like my solitude. Am I at risk for cardiovascular? I like being alone. I really, really do.
I'm the same way, actually. And I mean, I'll go out to events and things like that. But when I can, I enjoy being in my own space. I get to think. I can cut on a movie. I can laugh with my dog. It doesn't take much to make me happy. But I think with you, like knowing, let's say you need something, right? Like you need to vent to somebody. If you're able to call at least one person and that you can talk to that person, and that's somebody who is also able to reciprocate with you and tell you what, you know, they're going through, that's good enough.
That's so good. Okay. You are right. I definitely believe in, I am like, you know, going to events every now and then or walking around the community. You know, I have a dog now, and so it makes me have to take him out and walk. And then you meet other people along the way that have other furry monsters. And I saw a video of you where you were, it was acting, you were laying in the bed, but you were also being the person saying, hey, you got to get out the bed today. And you're like, okay, well, I understand. I'll wash the dishes for you and I'll come back and check on you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That is pretty crucial for someone who is, you know, going through depression, is to prayerfully, everybody has one person that they can call.
And also another point on that, like with you being a public figure, you know, it's like the average person can maybe just go to Walmart and just stroll around. You may not be able to do that as much. So that does change your life. And I think that, you know, when you look at people who've been in limelight for many years, you know, like I'm here in LA, so I just watch. I'll ask myself, like, is this enjoyable, you know, or is it sustainable, you know, like an overabundance of attention, like big awards, Grammy, Oscar, all great things. But then to go from that to, you know, you draw back a little bit, but people still know you. It's different because people treat you differently, but you're still you. So I think that you've seen with child stars a lot where they have all this attention and then they become adults and they're trying their best just to keep their head above water. But people don't see them the same. You know, they see themselves the same, but it lends themselves to more isolation. So I've been thinking a lot about that as of late.
Okay. Has that been happening to you? Are you able to go out?
Yeah, I go out, I do everything, but in some way it is kind of, you know, changing a bit. You know, I've been followed home before. I had 3 electric bikes stolen in LA. So I moved because of that. Yeah, you can't be too predictable here. It's still, you know, things can happen. So it's interesting. I went to one event and I saw Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire. And, you know, we're all there having fun, asking for pictures. And I watched him, you know, because as a psychotherapist, I just kind of watch people, you know, off in the corner. And after about 5 minutes, his demeanor went from like happy like us to like his social battery was done. And I thought to myself, he's been Spider-Man for what, 10, 15, almost 20 years? Like, imagine having to go through that every single day. I'm like, how does a person like that protect their mental health? Is this something that I think about?
Well, thank you for thinking and having that concern. You know, I can imagine you don't want to hurt people's feelings by denying them the picture, but there is a part of you that does shut off. And either you just go through the motions or you politely tell people, give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Right.
Or some people don't have the grace and they snap on the person. So yeah, I can definitely understand that. When we were talking about social media before you logged in, we were talking about this whole filter thing, how a person can go on social media and you can go on there barefaced, but social media right. will make you look 1,000 times, quote unquote, better.
Right.
And we were talking about that before you logged on. What are your thoughts on that?
It's interesting because I think when it first started out, it was kind of like a fun thing, right? You go on Snapchat or Instagram and like you could put like the little bunny ears on and, you know, you take photos with your kids or your nephews and nieces. You know, like it's fun stuff, right? But, you know, it progressed to where you could really alter your appearance. And I think if you're able to compartmentalize and see it as, oh, this is just social media, I think it could be harmless. But for a good majority of people, it's not that harmless. And even in Norway, I know that they've taken steps to try and even ban filters like that on Instagram. They'll make it hard for you to post photos like that because they want people to be deceived, you know. And when you look online, this is for not only girls, but also guys. If you keep seeing these huge bodybuilders and, you know, perfect skin, no acne, ripped muscles or women online, it may be worse. You know, you're seeing women who, and nothing wrong with surgery, but you can't compare yourself to somebody who has resources to make additional modifications to their body. It's going to make you feel much worse about yourself. So I think that social media is amazing and I love it, but our minds haven't really adapted to how fast it's evolving with filters and things like that. So I think even talking about these things is a good first step, because if you know how to, you know, process it, it could lead to depression through comparison.
What do you think are the signs of someone who needs a break from social media?
Well, I think if you have to even ask yourself that question, I think that could be a sign. You know, like, I think I may need to chill from, you know, Instagram for a second. It could be a sign if you're if you catch yourself scrolling for hours and you're just going through the motions and you're not obtaining anything from it, that could be a sign that you need to take a break. And a break could be a day or a break could be a weekend. Or if you catch yourself comparing yourself to people to where it's affecting your mood. And this is kind of this is sneaky because it creeps up on you, because I had a debate with my father the other day talking about, is it better to be depressed in 2022 or 1952? You know, but back in the day, if you were depressed, you were just there and depressed. But if you're depressed today and you're online, you can see that people have things that you don't have, and it can make you feel much worse. So when it's to the point where it's affecting your mood, you think you're a bit more irritable, it's preventing you from getting sleep, it's preventing you from connecting with people, making actual connections, whether it's calling somebody or hanging out with people in real life, it could be a sign that you might have to take just a short break, you know, and maybe figure out a more effective way to use social media, because it's not going anywhere anytime soon, but breaks are necessary.
Did producers talk to you before this interview? Because I feel like you're answering questions within questions that I was supposed to ask you, which is amazing, by the way. I'm like, were you briefed?
Well, I was talking to Angela before. No, I'm kidding.
I was like, no, wait a minute.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
This conversation is so good. Depersonalization and derealization. Right. What are the differences?
So with depersonalization is where you feel like maybe you aren't yourself, right? So you're sitting there and you're like, oh, I'm Michelle Williams, but I don't think I'm Michelle Williams. Or what's Michelle Williams doing? Sometimes people will maybe talk to themselves or refer to themselves in third person, like, oh, you don't feel like you're attached with yourself, right? And derealization is when you feel as if things don't feel as real as, like, you know it's real, but you're not sure if this is actually happening or if you're in the moment, you know. And a lot of times that can be caused by, it can be a trauma response where maybe you're having, you know, a flashback to something that happened in the past, or maybe you've had trauma build up over time to the point where you have your relationship with reality is distorted. It's not the same as psychosis, which is like a complete break from reality. Like you're so here and you're so present, but you're having doubts about the legitimacy of you being alive right here as a person, or you being in Atlanta. You know, you're like, oh, like Atlanta feels different today. Maybe I'm in San Diego. Maybe I'm in New York, you know, but you don't feel like your surroundings are actually what, like right now I'm in my room, but if I felt as if I was, you know, at a coffee shop, it would feel weird to me. I would think to myself, no, I'm in my room. I'm not in a coffee shop. But sometimes people have depersonalization and or derealization, and it may go on for a while. And also substances can bring it on too. You know, sometimes depending on what drugs or substances people use, that's why I always tell people to, you know, I do believe in alternative methods and us putting more money into research, but you should always talk to your doctor first, because some people will, you know, try something and trip up on a substance and it may take months, sometimes years, to like even kind of get back to feeling like how they used to feel before.
Wow. That is so important. Like you said, there are other methods of dealing with trauma, and that can be used, guided by a professional in that area. But I know there are times where people do take it upon themselves to try and experiment with drugs. Is it psychedelics? That can kind of alter certain things. But at the same time, those same psychedelics have been used, like I said, guided with professionals. They know the dosing you need, the time you should take it, and you know, all of that good stuff. So I am definitely, I'm not against medication. I'm not against holistic methods, but we should be wise in using them. What are your thoughts on relationships while you are suffering with anxiety and or depression? What is one step a person can do to have a healthy relationship?
Well, I think unless you have a healthy relationship with yourself, you're always going to be asking the other person for more than what they can probably provide. So you're never going to be in a position to really have a good relationship, because you're kind of grappling with things internally. So a lot of times you have to be intentional with yourself first and figure out what you need. And if you don't know what you need, I tell people to do the basics. Get enough sleep, get a little bit of exercising, and get good nutrition. And if you can't do those three things, like I really believe if you're having a hard time with one of those three, it may not be the right time for a relationship, because you go in when it's kind of like a business, you know, tactic. Like you go to buy a car at the dealership. They tell you that if you leave, the same price is going to change in like an hour. Right. So you're like, oh, I'm going to have to buy the car now. And you end up, you know, getting played out of $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 extra dollars because they have the leverage. So when you go into a relationship and you're not right within yourself, you're really working with somebody who has the upper hand. And I think that's how people sometimes put themselves on the fast track to things like gaslighting and abuse, because you needed them more than they needed you, you know, because you need them to kind of help like complete who you were as a person. So when you go into a relationship needing things, you're kind of doomed from the beginning, but you don't realize until 5 years later. And then, you know, you're trying to pick up the pieces and you realize that you were kind of, you know, screw from the jump.
I have never heard it that way, because when you use the term gaslighting, we hear it from the phase of how do you know you're being gaslit,
right,
versus the perspective you just shared. You went into the relationship with a certain need, and that's probably why you tolerated the gaslighting. You probably didn't know you were being gaslit, because being gaslit still is a form of attention from that person.
Right. Yeah. It's intermittent reinforcement. So it's like, let's say I'm dating you and I'm being toxic to you all the time. But then on a random day, you know, we'll go to Disney, you know, and then you'll know that, okay, I'll tolerate a whole lot of BS. And at some point we'll have a great day or a great week or a great month. You know, and sometimes, you know, you feel like, okay, like I've seen my sisters told me times when she's talking with her friends and they're telling themselves, oh, so-and-so's boyfriend is acting too nice. I'm worried. I'm scared. Like something's a little off, right? Because, you know, like you go through the toxic phase, but then you know that if you stick around long enough, something will happen that you enjoy. You'll have a good month or a good summer, but then it'll go back to the part where you don't feel respected. But you'll tolerate that if you really, really, really put yourself in a position to where you need that, or you feel like you need that to be who you are. And you don't realize that you've been gaslit sometimes until it's over with. You know, like the relationship is done and your friends are clapping that you're out of the relationship, but you're sad and you're confused. Sometimes that might be the first sign that you were going through it when your friends are rejoicing that you're single. Because, you know, like they've tried to tell you, and sometimes you can't tell people certain things. They may have to just go through it. And it's painful watching somebody that you love, especially when you saw yourself in them going through a certain thing, you know, but, you know, should they get out of it? Not that maybe they could even resume the relationship with that person or somebody else, you know, relatively soon. But you have to be in a position where you don't need anything. A lot of it's TV, too. I mean, I love Disney and, you know, the shows, but we've been sold this idea that, you know, like somebody's coming to complete you. You know, I don't think people are coming to complete you. You're coming as a whole person with them as well. And you're going to build something great. But when you feel like, oh, I need, like even just saying the word, I need this person, I don't think that sets you up in a good place mentally.
Kojo, you're awesome. Do you do relationship tips and counseling as well?
Perhaps. Hopefully it can apply to my own life too.
Because what you're saying is so good. Y'all, you have to follow him on TikTok, Dr. Kojo Sarfo. He is amazing. So for those who are listening, who are about to follow you for the first time, for those that are suffering from depression, can you share an exercise with listeners of what they can do, maybe something right now as they're listening?
Yeah, I would say the first thing to do is you have to feel proud of yourself. You know, if you're depressed and, you know, the day is over and you look back and you've been in bed all day and there's clothes all around, there's nothing to be proud of. There's just no tangible evidence that we were productive today. So for somebody who's depressed, normally I say to just do one thing. You have to keep it super simple because depression makes everything hard. If you're judging your pre-depressed self to your depressed self, you're already setting yourself up for trouble because you can't move as effectively. You can't get things done. Something like brushing your teeth can be difficult, taking a shower, getting out the house. So I would say if you're depressed right now, figure out one thing that you want to do that you can be proud of. So it can be even something as simple as getting out of the bed, like force yourself to get out the bed, go for a walk, and then get right back in bed. You can go right back to, you know, binge watching the show you were watching. You don't have to clean the room, you know, but as long as you can say at the end of the day, oh, I got out of bed and I walked around the block and I came back inside. I'm proud of myself today. You have to give yourself momentum because if you're not moving, it's the hardest part is starting, you know? So you have to feel like you're in motion.
That's so good. Y'all, he is author of books. He does have a mental health workbook called Feeling Good. And he also has a book entitled You Already Won. Do you have any tidbits on anything coming up in the future that we can also be looking forward to?
There's so much that I want to do. You know, a lot of people who are struggling with certain things, they may never be able to share their own stories. I would love it for people to come out and start to share these stories. I love those stories on social media where it's a success story of somebody who made it out of a difficult situation. And now that motivates me. But right now, that's what I'm into, a lot of storytelling. So you'll see more skits. I'm not sure if we're going to do like a book tour or something like that. But I'd love to get comedy shows going here in L.A. at least once a month, because we did one last year in October. And it's so cool to see people come together and talk. And it makes me realize how much I miss that. Like, I'm just looking for a reason to get people together and out the house and happy and to be smiling. I think if we can do that, we realize that we have much more in common than we'd like to admit. So I'm looking to, you know, have some shows here in Los Angeles, and then of course, you know, see what other opportunities arise.
Amazing, amazing, absolutely exciting. Your book title, You Already Won, is stirring my soul. Give us a brief description and I will let you go because I need folks to get that book from the title alone.
Yes, ma'am. So You Already Won, it's a mindset thing. I feel like if you start the day off thinking that you can't do something, you're not going to do it. And, you know, people might think that you're delusional when you really believe in yourself. You know, I'll say, no, I already won. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And my brothers will ask me every now and then, can you beat LeBron James in the 1-on-1 game of basketball? I'll say, yes, I can. You know, now, of course, he'll beat me, but I have to have the mindset that I'm going to win with everything that I do. Because if you have that mindset, you'll surprise yourself. So in the book, I talk about my journey through life, how I got my doctorate. And I also talk about, you know, being diagnosed with ADHD. And that was the one chapter in the book that I wanted to remove, because my fear was that I would be successful someday in some capacity, and that somebody would come and say that I was successful because I took ADHD medication in college. Like, that was my fear. For whatever reason, that fear just kind of like, I was like, ah, like I wanted people to think that I did it on my own. Like, I didn't want people to think that a medication helped me, even though it's a medication for a real condition. So, you know, I kept that part in the book. And it's just a mindset, you know, not being afraid, doing your best to be fearless and authentic. And that's something that I'm still working on today. So the title was very intentional. You already won. And I hope that it jumps out of people and people start to adopt that mindset.
Come on. Dr. Kojo, we are so grateful for you today. Thank you for checking in.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.
What an amazing, inspiring, hope-giving, life-giving conversation. He's so cool, and I could tell that he's just got tons of information that he wanted to continue sharing. The encouraging thing is, I want people to know that your diagnosis is not who you are. Diagnosis is just some information. It's data. It's information and data that's given so that you'll know what you're working with and what to do with it. Depression, anxiety, ADHD, ADD, bipolar, schizophrenia. You know, again, that's not a label. I would keep driving that point home. It's just data. It's just information. Nothing to be ashamed about. And I'm going to hit somebody upside the head. If they ever made you feel ashamed or made you feel bad for a diagnosis that you have. All right. Well, I am so excited that y'all are here with me again. I just want to make sure that you guys continue walking away with good information and great advice. I'm going to continue to bring in great influencers, doctors, practitioners, family. I'm excited about that. All right. So continue checking in and always know that you are loved. And there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, what you gonna do? All right, bye-bye. Checking In with Michelle Williams is a production of iHeartRadio and The Black Effect. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by anxiety, struggling to find restful sleep, or plagued by a restless inability to focus? It's time to break free from the chains of mental health challenges and discover a path to healthy living. Welcome to Amen University, founded by renowned psychiatrist and brain health expert, Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Amen, alongside a team of esteemed doctors and experts in their fields, understands the struggles you're facing and are here to offer solutions. From debilitating anxiety to sleepless nights filled with worry, our courses are meticulously crafted to target these specific challenges head on. Join us on a journey of transformation led by Dr. Amen and a roster of top-tier professionals. Say goodbye to the constant battle with your mind and embrace a future filled with hope and possibility. Visit our website today to explore our courses and start your journey towards a brighter tomorrow. Use code BRAIN10 and get 10% off. That's code BRAIN10 and get 10% off your first purchase. Amen University, because your mental health matters.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.